So that's 50 each for Potter, the two Weasleys, Longbottom and Miss Granger," said Professor McGonagall, and a shower of rubies fell down into the bottom bulb of Gryffindor's hourglass as she spoke. "Oh, and 50 for Miss Lovegood, I suppose," she added, and a number of sapphires fell into Ravenclaw's glass. "Now, you wanted to take 10 from Mr. Potter, I think, Professor Snape. So, there we are." A few rubies retreated into the upper bulb, leaving a respectable amount below, nevertheless. "Well, Potter, Malfoy, I think you ought to be outside on a glorious day like this," Professor McGonagall continued briskly. Harry did not need telling twice. He thrust his wand back inside his robes and headed straight for the front doors without another glance at Snape and Malfoy. The hot sun hit him with a blast as he walked across the lawns toward Hagrid's cabin. Students lying around on the grass, sunbathing, talking, reading the Sunday Prophet, and eating sweets, looked up at him as he passed. Some called out to him, or else waved, clearly eager to show that they, like the Prophet, had decided he was something of a hero. Harry said nothing to any of them. He had no idea how much they knew of what had happened 3 days ago, but he had so far avoided being questioned and preferred it that way. He thought at first, when he knocked on Hagrid's cabin door, that he was out. But then Fang came charging around the corner and almost bowled him over with the enthusiasm of his welcome. Hagrid, it transpired, was picking runner beans in his back garden.
"All right, Harry,"
he said, beaming, when Harry approached the fence.
"Come in, come in. We'll have a cup of dandelion juice." "How's things?"
Hagrid asked him as they settled down at his wooden table with a glass apiece of ice juice.
"You feeling all right, are you?"
Harry knew from the look of concern on Hagrid's face that he was not referring to Harry's physical well-being. "I'm fine," Harry said quickly, because he could not bear to discuss the thing that he knew was in Hagrid's mind. "So, where have you been?"
"Been hiding out in the mountains," said Hagrid. "Up in a cave, like Sirius did when he..."
Hagrid broke off, cleared his throat gruffly, looked at Harry and took a long draught of juice.
"Anyway, back now," he said feebly.
You look better," said Harry, who was determined to keep the conversation moving away from Sirius.
"What?"
said Hagrid, raising a massive hand and feeling his face.
Oh, yeah. Well, Gropius loads better behave now, loads. Seem right pleased to see me when I got back, to tell you the truth. He's a good lad, really. I've been thinking about trying to find him a lady friend, actually."
Harry would normally have tried to persuade Hagrid out of this idea at once. The prospect of a second giant taking up residence in the forest, possibly even wilder and more brutal than Grawp, was positively alarming, but somehow Harry could not muster the energy necessary to argue the point. He was starting to wish he was alone again. And with the idea of hastening his departure, he took several large gulps of his dandelion juice, half-emptying his glass.
"Everyone knows you've been telling the truth now, Harry,"
said Hagrid softly and unexpectedly. He was watching Harry closely.
"That's got to be better, hasn't it?"
Harry shrugged.
"Look."
Hagrid leaned toward him across the table.
"I knew Sirius longer than you did. He died in battle, and that's the way he'd have wanted to go."
"He didn't want to go at all," said Harry angrily. Hagrid bowed his great shaggy head.
"No, I don't reckon he did," he said quietly. "But still, Harry, he was never one to sit around at home and let other people do the fighting. He couldn't have lived with himself if he hadn't gone to help."
Harry leapt up again. "I've got to go and visit Ron and Hermione in the hospital wing," he said mechanically.
"Oh,"
said Hagrid, looking rather upset.
"Oh, all right then, Harry. Take care of yourself then, and drop back in if you've got a mo."
"Yeah, right,"